I was gonna write a script until I got hot. Was gonna write about the CNR1 gene, but then I got hot. I was researching cannabinoids and cannabis, but then I got hot.
Welcome to the Joe Cohen Show. Join me as I share my experience with biohacking and invite top health experts to explore the latest technology, supplements, research, and resources for optimizing your body and brain.
Today, as you might have guessed, we're diving into the world of the CNR1 gene and its association with cannabinoids, and I guess cannabis, although it's not just about getting high. Before diving into the gene, let's talk about the endocannabinoid system. So the endocannabinoid system is a complex network of pathways that involves internal and external cannabinoids, their receptors, and the enzymes that break them down. This system helps maintain balance in the body, particularly in the brain, by modulating neurotransmitter release and neuroactivity. So it's involved in mood control, wakefulness, stress response, synaptic plasticity, and then metabolism and inflammation as well. Some cannabinoids are naturally produced in the body, and others, such as marijuana, which has THC and CBD, are compounds that resemble endocannabinoids, but which are not normally produced naturally in the body. Both types can bind to and activate cannabinoid receptors, which is vital in maintaining the endocannabinoid system's important role. So there are two major types of endocannabinoid receptors, CB1 and CB2. While CB1 is found in a wide variety of tissues, including the brain, spinal cord, and gut, CB2 is most abundant in the immune system. The CNR1 gene codes for the type 1 cannabinoid receptor, so CB1, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. The CNR1 gene can vary from person to person, leading to differences in CB1 receptor function, and these genetic variations can influence an individual's sensitivity to the effects of cannabis, but that's not all it's good for. CB1 activation by cannabinoids in the brain can have multiple effects, like improving your mood, stress, and anxiety, inducing sleep, and promoting the development and preventing the damage of brain cells, and potentially impairing some cognitive aspects like memory, executive function, decision-making, and attention. So how does it affect mood and cognitive function? First, reduced CB1 activation can have a variety of significant negative effects on the mood. For example, a large number of studies have found that reducing, blocking, or knocking out CB1 receptors can cause a number of negative mood-related effects like depression, stress, and anxiety. Blocking CB1 receptors also resulted in significantly reduced overall motivation and a lack of positive emotions, which are two symptoms that can definitely interfere with your mood. Second, lower cannabinoid receptor activity can have significant negative cognitive effects as well. For example, knocking out CB1 receptors in mice resulted in significantly reduced levels of BDNF, which is a brain growth compound that is important for neurogenesis and synaptic plasticity. Also, it contributed to more severe age-related cognitive impairments. So these negative cognitive effects are likely due to increased inflammation, which CB1 receptors normally play a role in counteracting. Altogether, the negative effects of reduced cannabinoid system activity overlap with a lot of mood, cognitive, and inflammation-related symptoms commonly associated with brain fog. So the most studied SNP is the RS1049353 SNP, and it has two possible alleles, C and T. When it comes to avoiding chronic cognitive issues like brain fog, for example, or anxiety and depression, it's better to have the more common CC genotype. And this is because the minor T allele, while it doesn't change the CB1 receptor structure, it has been linked to reduced CB1 receptor activity and the underactive cannabinoid system. Reduced CB1 activity has been linked to a wide variety of conditions that can all contribute to the overall pattern of symptoms that we see in brain fog and other cognitive issues. Another polymorphism, the G at RS6454674, seems to lower the CB1 levels in the blood. And this variant has been linked to increased susceptibility to anxiety disorders and possibly depression. Now, if you do carry the negative variant, how can you improve CB1 levels? Well, there are other ways, like CBD oil and some different foods that contain omega-3 and other recommendations based on your personal genetic variants, which you can get by signing up for Self2Code. Now, before I sign off, I know you're all wondering, is there a variant that makes me get more high? And yeah, There actually is, and it's the good variant that actually increases the CB1 receptors and cannabinoid activity. Because more CB1 receptors are available in the brain, when THC is introduced, it has more receptors to bind to, and this can potentially enhance the effects of THC, leading to a quicker and more intense high. So individuals with higher CB1 receptor density might experience strong and more immediate effects due to more efficient receptor activation. So technically, you don't really even need it. So why don't you just leave the stuff for us poor negative variant carriers? I hope you enjoyed this quick segment of snippets. And if you're interested in diving into more detail about other important genes, please follow The Joe Cohen Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your daily dose of podcasting. Smoke weed every day. Hold up.